Wednesday, I received an email from Brother Lawrence encouraging me in my preparation for my message and for the preaching this morning. I had prepared and reworked my message many times and in the last weeks, but with little joy. That gave me a freshness and a new joy. And Thursday morning, as I lay in bed, I meditated on my topic, my first love. That gave me should have done that. As I lay there, a song came to my mind, and it's in our hymn books. Jesus loves even me. I'd like you to take your hymn books and turn to that song. Song number 234. And as I was in bed there, I went over all those words in my mind as I was meditating. And as I went over, I asked myself, am I glad? I said, yeah. The next question immediately followed, why are you glad? And suddenly this song came in. Song number 234, and I like to read the whole song. I am so glad that that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Oh, if there's only one song I could sing when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song through eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. What does that song say to you when we read, Jesus loves me? We think, well, this is a children's song. No, it's not. It could be. But it's more than a children's song. It's any child of God. Fits into this. And then, as I was meditating, a chorus that I had learned years earlier again came to my mind. I am so glad, and here's the reason why, Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with a load of care, Jesus took the load and gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. As I lay there in bed, the question came, so what? And now what? I'm free. I'm clean. Jesus took them all away. I was reminded of what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. I will read them a little bit later. What does Jesus mean when he talks about first love for the Christian? Over the years, my wife and I had the privilege of watching people come to the Lord, and there's something about that first realization about Jesus. And then reading Jesus' words that he gave to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Then, 60 years after Jesus said this, John, his apostle, was banished from society by Caesar to a remote island called Patmos because he did not like John's message. In so doing, Caesar thought he could stop the powerful message of Jesus and salvation. While there, Jesus appeared to John, and we have the whole book of Revelation given to us because that is what happened there on that island, and Jesus talking with John and showing him so many things. Now, the churches at that time had become lukewarm in their commitment to Christ. And so Jesus told John to write seven letters to the seven churches. In each letter, he praises the churches for the right things they are doing, and then points out where they need to make a few changes. Let's read that first letter, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars," and the commentators, seven stars, the pastors or ministers. "He holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands," the churches. "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember and repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from you, from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans," and that those are the believers who had compromised their faith, "which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear when the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." May I ask, is there any more light that I can get? Can you increase the power of the light? You can't. Okay, I'll try my best then. What do the words "first love" mean? We hear the expression, "She was my first love." In today's world, that refers to the first time that a boy has a crush on a girl. That girl is uppermost in his mind, so much so that even his schoolwork may begin to become secondary and could even result in lower grades in school. Obviously, that is not meant here in Revelation 2. I believe 2 Corinthians 5:17 gives us a very clear answer to that question of first love. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new." My wife and I have had the privilege to see 18-year-old Aggie Martins come to know the Lord. What a transformation. She was just so excited. And she wanted to show love to everyone. She had never experienced church before. She was so excited about Jesus, she wanted to get everybody saved, and all the poor people in the world should be fed now. That was beautiful. When you and I accepted Christ, we too experienced a total transformation. We became a new creation in Jesus Christ. We became a child of the King, the King of Kings. Who is, what name do we give to the child of a king? A prince? A princess? You are one. You're a prince. You're a princess. We were transformed into royalty, as you read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the royal priesthood. As we dug into the Word of God, our God-changed attitude opened us up to what God had to say to us. This grew as we read the Word, and as we attended Sunday school and church, we began to learn what God wanted us to know. We began to experience what one songwriter says, little by little he's changing me, line upon line he is teaching me, precept by precept until I am free. Jesus is changing me. For the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, it took an audible voice from heaven and temporary blindness to begin to see the picture of his lostness. I don't think any of us have experienced that. And Barnabas took this young gentleman under his tutelage and fed him the Word of God. Paul knew the Old Testament. He was a scholar of the Old Testament, second to none. But he had not seen Jesus in it. And Barnabas taught him. Under Barnabas, and then 3 years of Bible study, as we, according to 2 Galatians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, he became also well, the greatest missionary of all time. Zacchaeus, we read only once in Luke 19. But Jesus proclaimed salvation has come to this house. Why did he say that? He saw Zacchaeus' heart. Zacchaeus definitely was a new creation. He wanted to do everything he could to live his new life in that first love that he had experienced with Jesus. The Samaritan woman in John 4 could not keep the good news of Jesus to herself. She ran back to the village where she grew up, where she lived. And she told everyone, "I have found the Messiah. I have found the Christ." For every one of these outstanding transformations, there were people that went, that were there also had many, my eyesight just is not good today. For every one of those outstanding transformations of people, there were many who experienced the same transformation of whom we read very little. This does not mean it was not real, as real or as life-changing. It was and is, even today. God uses each person in a different way, and I'm quoting here Romans 12:3, according to the grace each has been given. Remember when the Nixon government in the States was caught in a scandal and Chuck Colson was caught in the middle of it? Colson went to prison where he accepted Christ, and already in jail he became an ambassador for Christ. He had that first love so strong in him for Jesus and saw that everybody in the world needed. And he saw also what he could do that day and is still doing today. Some of us also experienced very notable immediate changes. Others of us experienced the same transformation but had to work at releasing habits or hindering activities. When people accept Christ, there is an excitement about the freedom from sin and having a joy in the Lord that they just cannot keep to themselves. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And the Greek word for power there is dunamis, which means dynamite. That's where our word dynamite comes from. And when a stick of dynamite is set off, the explosion that follows affects everything and everyone around. God does not look at the amount of education we have or lack of it before he can use us. When we walk in the first love, we have great times with the Lord on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit will never guide us into a situation where we won't know what to do or what to say. He is right there within us and around us. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he said, I will send you my counselor or my comforter. The word counselor here is the Greek word parakleti, which means one who walks beside you. You are never without him. Parakleti, walking beside you. Wherever you go, he is there beside you. For one, the first love brings with us a hunger for the Word of God. I know that many of you have experienced that hunger. I remember as a young boy how my sister, younger sister and I just drank up the Word. She was 9 when she accepted Christ and I was 11. And we believed what Jesus says in John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. We read things in the Bible and we took them to be ours. It was the Spirit of truth that taught us many things. Sunday school and church were very important to us. So what else does first love look like beside wanting to see others come to know the Lord and have a hunger for the Word? Well, the first Sunday in February, Pastor Abe preached on how is your love life. Remember that? He gave us all a slip of paper, or was it on the back of the bulletin, his total outline what he was going to be preaching on. Remember what he said when he quit? He said, I'm sorry, my time is up. I still have this much left. And he says, sometime other or whatever. I talked to him because I had already been working on my message, the first love. He says, use it. Just take it. And that's what I want to do today. I'll take some of that. He immediately gave me the blessing. And you remember he spoke about agape love? He used that word a number of times. Agape is the Greek word meaning godly love, to love as God loves. And he gave us 8 definitions of love. We're going to look at that list today. The first one, I said, I can use that as a title for the other 7, and I went on to do that. Pastor Abe referred to Romans 12, verse 9, where it says, let love be sincere. Or Pastor Abe called it genuine. Genuine means there is no pretending. You can't pretend love. You might be able to fool some people some of the time, but nobody all the time. It is real. And the commentary in my study Bible puts it this way. Sincere love requires concentration and effort. It means helping others become better people. It demands our time, money, and personal involvement. And then it goes on to say, no individual has the capacity to express love to a whole community, but the body of Christ in your town does. It is suggested here that we are to look for people who need our love. Do you hear that? We are to look for people who need our love. And to look for ways fellow believers can love their community in Christ. And how can we do that? When our hearts go out to someone whom others seem to shun, then our love is genuine and sincere. When we prayerfully seek how we might be able to help that person, then we can be sure we are on the right track. Love must be generous. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 gives us a picture of God's love and how God's love works. We were steeped in sin. We had no love for God. So we might have had some fear of God. So what did God do? His love reached out to us so much that he sent his son as a sacrifice to set us free. Now that's godly love. I've seen people who have expressed a tremendous hate for God. But God's love won those people and turned them around. I remember talking to this one man. His hate was just so, he almost screamed at me in anger that I had better get away from him. I said, look, he accused us of always being at their house. I said, I don't even know where you live. I've never been there. But he was so angry with God. And then, I don't know, but 12 years later, and this was a man from Ontario, 12 years later, I received a call from Boundary Trails Health Center. And they said, you speak Low German, don't you? I said, yeah. Would you find time to come? I said, sure, I'll be right there. I came there. And they said, well, there's a man here. His name is Abram Redekop. And his English isn't very good. By the time I came to his room, he was dead. Now what? I talked with his wife. It was the same man who was so angry. When I talked to his wife, she told me he had accepted the Lord and they had joined the EMC church just south of Aylmer, and he had given his testimony publicly. How strong is God's love? God's love, I think it was Dennis this morning, spoke about God, God has chosen to work through people. And if that is the case, how can this man see God? How could this man see God other than that some person showed him love? Your love is the key to loving others into the kingdom, into bringing others to Christ. That's your love, my love. Is our love genuine? And then verse 11 adds, and since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. A comment that was common in the first church when they saw the church believers get together and how they worked and lived, the comment was, see how they love each other. Tremendous testimony. What better testimony could we give than that? Excuse me. And the love that we ought to have for each other is a godly love that has no conditions. Godly love is a love that seeks, how can I do something that's the best for that person? I want the best for that person. No matter what he does to me, she does to me, I want the best for that person. And that means I avail myself to that person. Secondly, this love has to be active. 1 John 3:18 says, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. James, the brother of Jesus, is a bit more direct in James chapter 2, verse 17. And he uses the word truth and interchanges it with faith, and indicates that we must put our faith into action. He says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So that if you and I say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I am a Christian, I have accepted Christ, James says, if there is no action to prove that, it's not true. That's a rather straightforward statement. And then at the end of chapter 4, verse 17, James says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, what's the last word? Sins. So if I know that I need to go to someone and help him, and I don't do it, I am sinning against God. That's rather straightforward, but I know. But it's not me who says it. That's what God says in his word. The love with which we are commanded to love one another is shown to us as being willing to and then actually sacrificing in order to express our love to others. It means planning and then carrying out that plan. Thirdly, such love will often be challenged that we go the second and third mile. It includes a deep commitment and sometimes a lot of effort in forbearing one another, in forgiving one another. These two go hand in hand. Galatians chapter 2, 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When someone is down because he is misunderstood, it is up to you and to me to go to him and to give him an opportunity to share. And then give him heartfelt words of encouragement. By the way, it says here we are fulfilling the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is to love. Years ago, I heard a pastor speaking at a wedding. It was in German, and I'm going to say it in German, and then I'll translate it for you. In German, it is, geteiltes Leid ist halbes Leid, geteilte Freude ist doppelte Freude. In English, it would be, sharing your burdens cuts them in half, and sharing your joy doubles your joy. That's true. I dare say there is not a person here who has not experienced that at some time or other. Ephesians 4 verse 2 puts it very well. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, forbearing, and bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4 verse 3, the next verse says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Pastor Abe calls this unifying love. The Holy Spirit, who helps us in expressing our first love, leads us in this. But we have to be willing to be led and to do our part to keep the peace. The only way we can do that is to shift our focus from ourselves and to the Lord. The result what's the result? It's a positive love. To show that, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just a few verses there, verses 4 through 7. Love must be positive, very positive. And I'm reading. Love is, listen to this list. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This text has often been used at a wedding, but I think it's much deeper than that. It is ours personally. Then Galatians 5:13 gives us the next. Love, such love is sensitive. When it says there, you, my brothers, or sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. That leads us to Ephesians 4:15, where it shows us the result of living our first love for Christ, namely that we will grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When it says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So then, first love begins with excitement and freedom when we experience, when we first accept him, which then leads us to talking to others about Christ, fellow believers and unsaved. Then there's a hunger in us for the word. Then listening to the Holy Spirit as he opens our eyes to new truths. And then opens our eyes to the various ways and needs of those around us. Obeying him and reaching out to those in need, to those who are hurting, and even to those who are out to hurt us. This first love then shows itself in our lives as genuine, active, forbearing, forgiving, always seeking the positive unity of the Spirit, according to Romans 12:10, the sensitivity to the feelings of others, in honor preferring one another. NIV puts it this way, honor one another above yourself. I just read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read the other verses now. They too speak to that. I start at verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy or preaching or whatever, and can fathom all sorts of mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I'll skip now 4 to 7 and go to 8. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now there are these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Father, we can hardly even begin to understand how great your love was. And now you're telling us we are to love as you loved. Lord, that is so difficult. We don't always know what to do and how to do it. We pray, Lord, that we may, by your Spirit, as we read your word, as we listen to your Spirit interpreting that word to us, as we share the word with others, as we seek to live out the little things of forgiveness, of carrying another's burdens, helping one another, taking care of those all around us in need, seeking how we can best help others. Lord, that's how you tell us our love will grow. And we want that. Forgive us where we haven't done that. And now, Lord, as we commit ourselves to you for today and the days ahead, we surrender to you. And we say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Teach me. Give me joy in the Spirit. Give me joy in meeting the needs of those around. In Jesus' name, amen.